Hello and welcome to the Hello and welcome. Stop it.
You know, have you stuffed up build-ups before? It's getting to you. The fame's
fresh.
Getting to you.
Yeah, the fame's getting to me. Hello and welcome to the
performance anxiety.
Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode 173. I am your host, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
James Gilmore.
Hello.
And Peter Willington.
Hello.
Right, yeah. Has everyone had a nice... We're recording on a Wednesday, which is a change. Do you want to know why we're recording on a Wednesday?
Because you're sacking off somewhere, probably.
Actually, yes, I am. No, I'm not. I'm going to a very important meeting.
Oh, I see. Are you wearing a suit?
No.
not that important, then.
Yeah. Come on. Let's not blow this out of proportion.
Are
no,
you
no,
suits?
It's a. Yeah, I may. Well, maybe. it's the launch of the new iPhone tomorrow.
Ooh.
Oh, no, I got it wrong.
I meant the
Android iPhone.
The other thing.
Yeah, so I'm off to see what Samsung has in store for
probably it's probably a touchscreen phone with Android on it, I reckon.
I bet you it's quad core, the most powerful Android phone in the market, but still won't be able to run some very, you know, one of the top 3D games from iOS properly.
And they'll have Android on it.
They'll have Android on it. I'm being cynical. It's probably a very nice phone. I quite like the S2, it was all right.
Do you know what I don't like? I don't like the button. It looks odd.
The square one?
Yeah, it looks weird.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? It looks cheap.
It does. It's exactly what it looks. Have a word where you will tomorrow.
I will. Mr. Samsung! Hello!
That is his name.
That is his name. Hello, Mr. Samsung. My name is Will Wilson from Pocket Gamer.
Why are you putting an accent on?
I'm here to ask you a few questions about your square button.
So, sorry, Mr. Wilson, come back when you've got a suit and some shoes.
No, you must listen to me. I have very
it's
important
changing now. It's becoming German as he becomes angry.
I thought that was kind of like a nice universal European accent.
You can get away with things if you've got an accent. People think it's endearing.
I know, precisely, yeah. Why are your phones not so good? That doesn't sound so good if I went, why are your phones not very good?
It's something about the English language. When you say stuff in the British accent, you just sound like disappointed with people. It's why? Why?
We are most of the time, aren't we? So.
That's true. We have good reason.
They are pretty disappointing.
Just everything, really.
Why are you so disappointing?
Yeah, that'll work.
I should learn a bit of Esperanto to back it up. Anyway, so let's go on to the proper news.
News!
Why have I put what happened last week? Question mark.
Exclamation.
I think that's a hangover from the previous episode.
Exactly, as I say, I was thinking when you sent that through. What, is he having some kind of mental breakdown?
I'm always having a mental breakdown. it's a slow decline. Right, so let's start off with the Wake Up campaign, which we reported on last week. And we erroneously attributed it to Samsung.
You not go back and edit that. And so we say, I reckon it was probably RIM.
We could do that. Would be a bit, you know.
No one listens to this anyway. No one's going to know.
It's not Bushido, is it?
It's not Bushido. So apparently some people have done some digging. Macworld Australia did some digging and found there's a double click code in the Wake Up website that is apparently links back to RIM's website.
Ooh.
Oh, the plot thickens.
It's like an episode of Spooks, isn't it? It's just
it is. It's kind of a bit boring.
Oh, that's very cruel.
Smash.
Sick,
so yeah, RIM apparently employed a one of those agencies, marketing people, stand outside an Apple store, picket it with a sign saying, wake up.
It's very strange to do that, because when they're, as anyone who's been watching, well, probably no one, but as anyone who has been watching what's been happening in the battery world at the moment will notice that, you know, they've got a touchscreen only phone coming, supposedly, with BlackBerry 10, which looks very iPhone-like.
I like the fact that the video for the announcement, where they show off all the new BlackBerry 10 features, and some of them are quite good. I like the spell-checking keyboard with the swipe-up to finish off words, which is quite cool. But I noticed that when I looked at it on the YouTube channel, which was about a day after it was posted, it was up to, 600 views?
Well, you just can't buy that kind of promo, can you?
I know, it's crazy.
But I mean, it's a bit strange. Anyone who's had a kind of studied advertising, they always say it's got to be coherent with what your actual product is. So if you go along to someone else and say, yeah, you know, wake up, you don't want one of these phones, when actually you're making a phone which is incredibly like the phone you're slagging off, it doesn't really make any sense, to be honest. It's a bit naff.
Wake up. We're still here. Hello.
Anybody?
Signs, yeah. Anyone at all?
No, it does. It does. The whole, we thought, like last week, you said it was a bit, well, it seems a little bit off color or a bit of a strange, everyone. Yeah, no, exactly. Not Cricket or Bushido to be doing that. It just doesn't seem like, it almost seems a little bit desperate, I'd say.
You know,
reduce the, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I wouldn't avocado taking this route at all.
I was hoping everyone would forget about it by now.
It's just hiring people to sort of stand outside the store and be like, you know, just shout, hurl abuse at the people inside. It's, yeah, if you have to resort to those kind of measures, then something's amiss, do you not think? Especially if it hasn't translated into sick hits.
Yeah. And it's a sad week when this isn't the most detestable thing to happen to Apple, isn't that really? To Apple or an Apple device, but I'm sure we'll move on to that.
Yes, so we're not going to go on to that straight away, because we're going to go to, it's iOS related. There was. AKA Mr. Steve Wozniak, who co-founder of Apple, as you'll all no doubt remember, back in 1976 with Mr. Steve Jobs. And Apple's like main engineer from that era. Yes, he's gone and bought a Windows phone, and has in true company loyalty has declared there's no contest between Windows Phone and Android, and iOS is more awkward than Windows Phone's OS, which is probably, it's just like, in, if you want to imagine what it's like to be Keith right now, imagine that being said, but only with the backdrop of glorious choral music and almost.
I don't necessarily agree with him. Although I suspect he probably didn't buy the suggestion is it was a Lumia 900 he's talking about. I suspect Nokia probably gave one in.
No,
in
he tweeted that he was sitting in a cafe and was about to go and get his. Well, I guess yeah.
They probably just throw one at him, didn't they? I share his love. I wouldn't say iOS is in any way awkward. I would say iOS is slightly dated. I wouldn't say it's awkward when compared to. I completely agree with Android there. So he's half right.
Well, he says it's like interacting with a friend, not a tool. But what if you have a friend who is a tool? Yeah. Huh? Did he think of that?
Well, you're on my phone, Will, aren't you? So.
Right, so moving swiftly on. Let's keep on the iOS theme. Let's do that. That's quite a good theme. Maybe we could do a whole podcast around that theme. That would be kind of crazy, I know, but it might just work. So Angry Birds Space, which you might remember, is a physics game from Rovio Entertainment, no longer Rovio Mobile, has been downloaded. It's the fastest growing mobile game ever. And I think what it means by fastest growing is fastest to be downloaded. Rather than actually, it's not growing in size. If you go onto your iPad now, the icon hasn't increased by a third.
That would be alarming.
And it starts eating the other icons. feed.
That'd be, but shrewd, I think. That would be quite the business move. It eventually just munched everything on you. You just open it up, and every time you turn it on, there's just this giant red bird staring you in the face. That'd be and good.
As you go to sleep at night, or you can hear a faint sort of did-din-din, you didn't even turn it on. It had no battery. anyway, it's been downloaded 50 million times in 35 days. It's worth saying that this is across all platforms.
But that's, yeah, impressive.
I saw a boxed copy of Angry Birds for the PC the other day.
Yeah. What? I can get it.
Yep.
So people like my mother who wouldn't know that you could get stuff over the air, you have to buy it.
I wonder if that would actually become a collector's thing, though, thinking about it.
How much was it?
It was $7.99, I think.
Yeah, that's not a collector's thing.
Nah, they must sell. They must sell like tens of thousands of copies of those in like garage stations late at night.
No, I haven't. I saw it. There was only like a few copies in my local game. The great thing is, I've edited that bit out. So him being terrible. Anyway, so yes, I might get one. Just, you know, no one's going to buy a box copy for the PC, are they? So I'm thinking, why not?
This figure's interesting because it's only a few weeks ago that Draw Something hit 50 million in 50 days.
Wait, I'm getting onto that. That's why I picked this one next. But anyway, 50 million downloads in 35 days. So that's the fastest growing mobile game ever.
Wowzers.
Which is predictable, really.
It was always gonna do all right.
Yeah, you know? It was gonna do well. And the reason for the popularity, of course, is because of that tie-in with NASA. Anyway, we'll move on to the next story, which is that Omega Pop has their Draw Something game. Who put it? Oh, you're Forbes, isn't it? Forbes did a graph.
Forbes did a graph.
Well done, Forbes. Well done. Mr. Forbes, he doesn't like his graphs. He drew one up for Draw Something, and it's not a good-looking graph for Zynga, because it just shows the DAUs, which is, for those not au fait with rinsing and monetization, it means daily active users. The DAUs for Draw Something have dropped quite considerably.
Dropped
50%. They're now at just over 10 million, which is...
Well, yeah, these aren't official figures. These are based on app data. It's kind of looked at Facebook logins, and it assumes that the majority of people, when they play Draw Something, do so with Facebook switched on, which is probably a safe assumption, considering it's a social game. And the worry is that they're saying that, you know, it did, because anyone in the Abyss world will know that Zynga paid out a lot of money for basically when it was its peak, and the worry is that now it's in decline. They spent, what was it, 190 million? How many dollars was it?
It now seems quite small compared to when Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion.
It is, but it's still a lot of money to pay for what was essentially one game. I mean, like the shrewd business heads would say, well, you buy this game before it becomes big. You should be able to spot what's going to become big, rather than buying something when it's already getting 15 million people playing it a day. And since then, now it's dropped to 10, and looks like it will be dropping further in the coming weeks.
This is a bit like me in Roller Coaster Tycoon. Not Roller Coaster Tycoon, Railroad Tycoon. I always bought the stocks too late. Interesting fact.
It's got investors worried, because a lot of investors don't have a clue about the mobile games market, and they rely on like analysts telling them, oh, these people know what they're doing, these people know what they're doing, invest in them. People who invest in Zynga assumed that, oh, well, Draw Something's been huge, so they must know what they're doing. And now the question is actually whether the people in charge of Zynga, whether the management themselves are actually as shrewd as was thought, or whether actually they're a little bit behind the times and maybe not worth investing in. And then their share price has dropped 50% as well over the course of since buying I'm a good pop. So
you mean, yeah, you...
it's all a little sour kind of, considering all the positive stories about Draw Something. It's a little sour note.
You could say that Draw Something is starting to draw a blank for Zynga.
Well, you should write a headline. You should have come to me with that headline. I'd have probably run that.
I'm just shaking my head so slowly at that. But I mean, like, I've stopped playing it. Like, it's completely lost interest to me.
Yeah, I stopped playing it too.
Well, because the problem is, when any of these people, I think these games are always you do stop. And the problem is, even if you decide, I'll go back to it, say you two suddenly decide in a few months you'll go back to it, no one else will be on it. So you'll kind of go back to what is a dead game. So once it starts taking the downward slope with these things, once people start moving away, then it drops like a stone usually.
The problem is, though, it's mainly because it isn't even really a game. It's a social tool, because there's no objectives, there's no sort of incentive for anyone to play on beyond that you're communicating with your friends. And obviously that's not how Angry Birds became big. It's still a game at its very core. So there's some sort of long-term appeal.
That's exactly what one of the articles that spawned, not Forbes itself, one of the other articles spawned off this, made the point of saying that people saying, everyone thought it was going to be the next Angry Birds. Look at the downloads it was doing. But Angry Birds was a game with levels, and they added more levels. And,
damn it. Who nicked my idea? I didn't read any articles.
Some American.
No, not some American. I hate his articles.
Yeah, that's some American.
I've got Young Americans in my head now. That's going to annoy me for the rest of the podcast.
Sorry, what?
The David Bowie song.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going down a slightly dark path there.
He was cool when Will was young. So.
Oh, right.
The Young American. That one. Young American.
That's Rick Veeves. Wow. Vic Reeves.
Anyway, talking about shutting down, Rock Band iOS, the iOS version of Rock Band even, is being shut down. This is a very odd story by EA. No, not EA. It'll be... Who published Rock Band? It will be...
A Harmonix?
It is EA.
It is EA, because Harmonix did have it originally. That was like 2009, and then they did that Viacom split in 2010-ish. And Harmonix are apparently like unsure about this as well. The story that went up saying that people have made contact with EA. This little pop-up message has appeared saying May the 31st, it will be unplayable. On iOS devices, thanks for rocking. And was like, I thought I bought it, and it was mine. But people have contacted EA, like via Twitter, reached out. They haven't made any contact yet, but apparently Harmonix have done the same. Harmonix are apparently asking EA what the score is, as if they didn't know.
Didn't know.
Yeah. may well not have a clue.
To be fair for Harmonix.
Yeah. Well, one of the possible suggestions, like licensing issues, maybe. I mean, the songs could have been on like a 2-year or 2.5-year license, and now that's expired, they have to pack it up.
Harmonix would know about that, wouldn't they? They'd be a bit,
Well, you'd think.
No, I'd think they'd keep that separate because it's more of a business sort of side, I'd imagine.
But this is fine. Like, I understand that. They might have a limited contract where they can distribute the songs for a certain amount of time. You get it for 2 or 3 years on mobile. Fantastic. This is the deal that we're going to sign. But if you can't buy that content after that amount of time, fine, fair enough. But it is absolutely disgusting to take something that somebody's paid money for away from them. This is absolutely a horrible, horrible story. It's like when I read this on the site, I just thought, well, what as a consumer, what is my desire now to buy another EA mobile product? What, like, if they can just say, nope, it's finished now you're not allowed it. Thanks for your money, but now you're not allowed it.
It's not the first time they've done this, to be fair. They've also done it for their multiplayer components for some of their older sports games. So
that's fine. Yeah, multiplayer is fine. Multiplayer is fine because I understand that that's an additional service that people are still using. Fine, shut down NBA 07. Like, but they're not shutting down NBA 07 single player. That disc, you can still put it in and still play a single player game of it because you've paid for it. You can still, theoretically, you should still be able to access this content.
Well, it's okay because you can back it up using our guide that we wrote up on the website last week.
Absolutely. And that's Mark, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mark's guide for backing up your iOS games. Definitely check that out because then you can save Rock Band from the jaws of EA Mobile. But on the same on the same subject, Eliminate Pro is being also removed. This is a multiplayer-only first-person shooter from Engimoca. One of the first... one of the first, I would describe it as hardcore. I hate that word. I really hate that word. Hardcore freemium games. Because it's a first-person shooter, really. That's the only reason why people... That's the only reason why people call it hardcore. Even though, you know, like, most of the people I know who play, like, one game a year play first-person shooters. Oh, no, they're not casual, though. They're hardcore gamers, yeah? Because they play first-person. No, no.
Anyway. They don't just mean men. That tends to be what they mean, really.
No, they always mean... It's always, like, the hardcore genre. So it's got to be first-person shooters or, like...
I think Grand really... Theft Auto.
Because you use both thumbs.
Yeah, games that boys play is what they mean, rather than hardcore. But that would be sexist. But it's probably true.
I didn't put you as a sexist, Keith.
I'm very sexist. People say it all the time. Oh no, they say something else. Yeah.
So Eliminate's also being shut down, but
it's being eliminated.
It's being eliminated.
That's
being shut down on May the 25th.
May the 25th.
Yeah. But I'd imagine because it's a multiplayer only game, there's not been so much of an outroar.
Morning off or the end of the 25th? I mean, could we have a day on the 25th where we all play it to say goodbye, or will it already be gone by the 25th?
Well, you're thinking of doing a sort of Xbox Live original service protest where we all log on and play Eliminate Pro until they can't shut us down. We'll keep playing, man.
We suggest it, you know, maybe we should all do that. But now we need to know, is it May the 24th? Do we need to be doing it then, or will we wake up on the 25th and it'll all be over?
One thing I don't understand is that they haven't shut down that terrible Star Wars tie-in that they based off Eliminate Pro Inverbs. Infinitely worse. So you could always play that if you're still playing Eliminate. Anyway, I think that's it for the news.
Really?
It feels like this one's shorter than normal, but that's because the last couple have been incredibly long.
John's not waffling on about something he's heard in his head, isn't it?
So. We can make up a rumour that John would make up.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I don't know. I'm not on the biz side. Numbers.
And Android is being shut down this week, I've heard. So,
how many dollars is that gonna cost?
Five.
Shut down. $5.
$5. Okay. The little green robot's not too demanding.
He might be going there, mightn't he? He might be disappearing.
He has no need for monetary valuers. Anyway, right. New releases. Let's go there. This week on the new releases, I'm the King of Fighters, my little hero, so don't get in the way of my Lego Harry Potter.
So close.
It's the best one for a while.
I like it.
Oh, here it comes. Sorry, carry on.
I beg you, what are you doing?
I couldn't get the page to load, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Bit nervous there. Right, okay, yes, so welcome to the new releases roundabout of new releases. And the number two is just coming around the corner, you know, number two, 2nd of May, because it's the 2nd of May today. Yeah, anyway. My Little Hero from NCSoft is the first game this week out on iPhone. I'd love to make an excuse here and say we haven't been able to play any of these games because they're not out in the UK yet, but normally, even when we're recording on a Thursday, we don't normally play them before we comment about them. So so My Little Hero, the trailer, by the way, doesn't show any of the gameplay. I'm just warning you all now. Yeah, I know you're all watching it waiting for that to happen. But it's a sort of hack and slash action game where you play a little boy with a cardboard helmet and a wooden sword running around various worlds of his imagination. trying to fight the bogeyman. It is... How much is it? The problem is, because there's no gameplay on the trailer. I don't know how much it is. I can't remember. Oh, well. Animal Trackers is also out this week. Now, this sounds fun. What's Animal Trackers about? You take the role of Team Tracker, a group of animals. Okay. You've been challenged to a hide-and-seek competition. Jeez, this looks pretty bad.
the eyes, the animal's eyes. Oh dear God, what's going on there?
What the hell? Skip to 1 minute and watch what happens.
Oh. Okay.
He really did.
Oh,
he's very pleased about it. If you look, there's a lot of fist pumping afterwards.
What did he do?
Well, the fox just leapt on the back.
He tracked, apparently. This is tracking. Maybe tracking's a euphemism for something.
That's what Will calls it. So.
He always finds his way back.
That's 3 stars.
That looks terrible. It looks verging on illegal.
Well, what the fox is doing to that chicken.
I don't think foxes think about chickens in that way.
I know. It's a bit disturbing. Anyway, let's move swiftly on. The King of Fighters, 2012. Yeah. So, yes, the King of Fighters is back, and he's brought his... Is there Fighters? A King of Fighters? No, I was trying to do that to wind up Peter, but...
Do you actually know anything about...
No, but I'm going to talk about it anyway before you can
start. All right.
So, yes, it's a beat-em-up game featuring 32 different people, 6 game modes,
yep,
and is based on the novel The King of Fighters by Steinbeck.
Yep. The trailer here just seems to be showing the menus.
Yeah, it is. I've just gone through it. Yeah, it's not showing the menus. It's not showing the actual play itself whatsoever.
That's awful.
Yeah. 2D fighter, very, very slick. A little bit more combo heavy, I would argue, than a Street Fighter, but not as much as a Tekken. And you want to play as K-Dash and Harry Bogart. There you go.
And if you'd like to buy the original novel, it's available from Amazon.co.uk for $7.99. Published by
My Blood
Penguin.
Is Boiling.
the new one, the 2012 edition, is out. It's out now on the App Store, actually. It came out a day earlier than we expected. I can't remember. It's quite pricey for an iOS game, probably $4.99, something like that, $6.99. But the original has gone on sale for $2.99. The original iPhone version. So, also something to note: this is something that me and Rich like is the fact that they've removed 2 hyphens from the name, so it's no longer stupid. It's now
where are
stupid.
They?
Well, just between the King of Fighters and the I, but there was a hyphen at the end which went nowhere. There was nothing after that I except for the hyphen. This is the sort of thing, listeners, that we get annoyed about. anyway, moving on. Lego Harry Potter, years 5 to 7, is finally out. This was expected to arrive last winter. And it's now out. Well, it's now out when you're listening to the podcast. It puts you in the little shoes of Harry and the gang of lovable wizard children. And you follow the plot line of the last 3 films, which I apparently were books. All in one game.
All 3 films in one game.
Yeah, because they condensed the plot.
Yeah, I reviewed this on DS. Well, not this, obviously, but a similar game.
The graphics look a lot nicer because the previous one was based on the DS version. But this one looks a lot closer to like the PSP version.
Or the Vita version.
Anyway, it looks a lot nicer than the previous one. But yeah, you know, if you've never played a Lego game, basically this is what happens. You start a level after a funny cutscene, and then you smash things up, and you smash some more things up, get to quite a basic puzzle, smash some more things up, build stuff. It's quite fun. Yeah, and there you go. It's out now from when you're listening to the podcast. What are you laughing at?
Your delivery. It's out now.
Yeah, so what's moving on. Rocket Fox is out. This is from Namco. It's free to play. It's an action puzzler, as Ant has called it. It's a 3D flying thing, I thought. Yeah, it is. You fly through the air, you pick up stuff, as a fox, obviously. Foxes fly. There's vibrant 3D worlds. You can make your fox gangster.
Yes, you can put glasses on and spin around. And he has three tails. Because Miles Tails has two tails, so he has three tails. Yes?
He's got a red ear as well. Has he been in a fight?
Yes.
Probably
a bleeding ear.
He's been looking around those bins and getting into fights with other foxes.
Miles, I'm coming for you, man.
Don't get him, Sonic.
You two-tailed loser.
That was a very good impression of Tails there, whoever did that.
That was
squeaky, annoying American. Hey, press the A button, press the B button. Shut up, honestly.
I couldn't remember how he talks like that. Just
is how he talks.
That seemed like a natural voice.
Any modern-day Sonic game, all he does is run alongside you saying, hey, press the A and then press the X if you want to do this. And bugger off. Sorry, I can't say that.
I'm going to have to bleep that one out.
He is a verminous navvy.
They should never talk. Never let them talk.
All right, hey, listen. The next game out... No one picked up on that one. Okay, Tractor Trails is also out this week. I think I saw this earlier. It's where you drive a tractor as a... As a chicken.
Oh. What? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's quite good.
And it's one of those puzzles where you can only go along the route once, and then...
Yeah.
Normally what happens is a block or platform falls away when you do that, but this in this game, a tree grows.
Quite inventive, I think. And then there's little birds flying away and stuff, so it looks quite good.
Doesn't look too bad, no.
Originates.
The origin story.
Originates.
Originate.
Quite interesting. I like the logo. Ooh. It's like Virgin Media's logo. Yeah. Anyway.
Also out this week, if you're wondering why I'm not saying any prices, because every time I click the link to buy,
not there.
Wanting to open iTunes, and it doesn't work probably because I'm on a PC, and obviously Apple don't want iTunes to work properly on a PC.
No, it'll crash your crash poor PC.
I've got it open, right, but my browser just goes, trying to open iTunes, and I'm like, no, you're not.
Mine does that. It doesn't know where it is.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Anyway, the next one is Robbery Bob.
This looks rather Spy Mouse in slow motion.
Spy Mouse in slow motion. Only you steal stuff rather than just cheese.
I mean, it looks incredibly like Spy Mouse in slow motion, in fact, because he's using little portals there in the videos. Although it doesn't look bad, but it just
doesn't look bad. It's a stealth game overhead where you play the titular Bob. Man of Steel, as it's called, but that's Man of Steel with an A, yeah. And he's sneaking around houses trying to avoid lasers and policemen and guards and all this.
I like the way he's walking.
The sort of slow headbang nod thing. Yeah.
The creepy walk. But look, he disappears down the port. That is very Spy Mouse. That's interesting, you think about it, because this is EA, essentially, you know, and so is Spy Mouse.
Hold on. He's just stolen a calculator and it's come up with $50? For a calculator?
Yeah, it's one of those newfangled solar-powered calculators.
Only like the ones you can put boobless on. Only decent calculators.
That's a scientific calculator.
Yeah. That's science for you.
Mini Flyer is also out this week. This is from Trinity Interactive. It's an endless flying game where you have a jetpack. And you can...
Someone should do one of those. That sounds profitable.
Although the difference between this and Jetpack Joyride is it's viewed from overhead.
Yeah, it looks a bit strange. And oh, he's going up.
It's like Doodle Jump meets Jetpack Joyride, which is probably what they said in the design meeting.
Mm. It's quite pretty, though.
It's quite nice, yes. Yeah, nice graphics. Doesn't look too bad.
Mini Flyer. I'm not sure about the name.
That seems all right to me. The next one I'm quite interested in checking out at some point. Brains. It's a real-time strategy game where you are the zombies.
Ah.
So you control your zombies to eat the humans, and some of them have guns, obviously. Obviously, because some humans have guns, and everyone else doesn't. So you chase them down and eat their brains out, and then they become zombies, and then you then chase down more humans. And...
I like the look of it.
Sounds looks quite good, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It does look quite good.
It's probably quite a simple RTS at heart.
No, it's not. It's not. They're not scary zombies. They're quite amusing zombies.
Yeah, it's quite cartoony, sort of cel-shaded look. Mm-hmm. It's from The Lonely Few, and it is out now. And I really wish I didn't have to. One moment, please. Connecting to the iTunes store. Loading. Mm. It's open. It's there. I've got it open in front of me. Anyway.
Why don't you just type it in the search?
Because that will require... No, because I can't. It's not out in the UK. I'd have to change my country.
If you're a professional, Will, you'd have had this all set up.
I am a professional.
Because you've been lounging around all day doing I don't know what. You know, probably playing video games or something.
Like you eating guys soft do. Cheeses. Yeah. Sipping at port.
How do you guys know this?
In a dressing gown.
Anyway, let's move on to what we've been playing.
Yes, let's.
What we've been playing!
Never heard somebody so angry at video games. It's like, yeah, fine. Let's talk about the things that we love and enjoy and get paid to write about.
Enjoy. Honestly. Where does that stem from?
So, welcome to the What We've Been Playing Fields. Because he's so enthusiastic, I think we should all listen to what Keith's been playing this week.
This trick last week, you did this, and, you know, I've been... You know what I've been doing? I've been at very important meetings like you in suits. And there's been no time for these pesky video games.
Very disappointed.
You and me both. I'd like to play some games one day. It would be nice. I might have some belief that I know what I'm talking about. So, if anyone has any games they want us to know, actually, I'd best not say that.
Soliciting us.
James.
Right, all right then. Well, I have been playing for a little bit today, Kabloom, which is, it's new to the iOS, but it's been kicking around on PCs for a little while now, I think about a year or so. It got picked up by the BBC. It's kind of a, it's an odd little thing. It's single screen, you've got a creature living at the centre of it, which kind of looks like a sun or a little planet, and he's sleeping. And scattered around him, you have a bunch of gems or spinning coin-like things and blue sort of spheres which power him up. And what you have to do is link chains. You have to link the chains of up to three, at the beginning anyway, up to three of these coins together. And then when he wakes up, he kind of you click on them and he reaches out, grabs them, pulls them in and eats them. And every time he eats one of the big blue gems, his kind of diameter, his reach kind of increases, glows outwards, and allows you to reach gems that are further away. And you have to clear the screen of gems. And it's very well presented. It's a really, really strong look, sort of brightly colored, simple size. It's not like flashy shading or anything like that, but very simple block colors. But done in a nice way. He's the little main character dude, whatever he is. They just call him a creature. Is relatively, I suppose he's about as cute as a circular thing with a smiley face can be. when he's sleeping, it's all right. And I guess it's something slightly different. I've not seen the chaining things together, reaching out, grab them. It's quite cleverly done. And the trick comes, where it starts getting complicated, is you're supposed to chain them together. You can only link up to three gems at any one time. But then as soon as he reaches out and grabs them and starts pulling, kind of reeling the chain in, the end of the chain catches on fire.
And when once it's caught on fire, you can grab the end of the chain and link it to another chain you've already created. And the idea is to kind of create like an infinite chain where you can gobble them up in one continuous go, and that's where all the points lie. After you get to the second or third world, it starts getting quite tough, and you have to give it quite a few goes to get any decent scores. It's fun though. It is nicely done. If I had objections, the music, which I thought was kind of entertaining at first, is incredibly irritating after about 5 minutes. So that got switched off pretty early. Towards the middle of it, towards the end, it starts getting quite... I don't know if I'm just dumb or if it's just being willfully obtuse or what, but it gets quite tough. Some of the solutions seem a bit weird to my feeble brain, but it's quite nice. It's interesting little concept. It's slightly different to the other things out there. It's not just another, you know, catapult physics thing, which is quite nice. And 69p, I think it is at the moment. It's worth a look, I should say.
Well, I have been playing this week. Let me check my list of what I have been playing. Lost Winds and Epic Asteroid Story. Not the most recent releases. I was playing Lost Winds because the sequel was announced that it was coming to iOS earlier in the week. So I started playing the original because I never got around to it originally. It's fun. It's quite a relaxing little game. Playing on the iPad. Obviously, I didn't play it pre-patch, so I don't know how bad the controls were originally. But reading the review and hearing about how the patch added like slowdown for the original control scheme and of the D-pad for if you like that sort of thing, it sounds like it was a big improvement on what it was originally. It's quite a short game. I'm about halfway through it, and I played it for about an hour and a bit. So. No, not going to last very long, but it's very nicely designed. It's got quite nice base concept behind it. It's quite a gentle little game. It's friendly.
Huggable.
Yeah.
Sounds menacing when you say it like that.
It's friendly.
Gentle, little, and friendly.
It wouldn't harm a fly. I'm so surprised it's been linked with this murder case. anyway, this week I've been playing Epic Astro Story, which is from Kairosoft, and is their management games in space. And you set up a colony and you build housing and get alien space tourists to visit and walk around and look at statues. The same statue, not sure why. And they give you research points, which I'm also not quite sure why. And you send out away teams and you explore new areas of your planet. And it sounds a lot better than it actually is, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit burnt out because if you break it down, Kairosoft games are all pretty much the same. There is a little bit of a change in this one in that it's more reliant on the away team aspect. And there isn't like that four different kinds of stats being counted. As with other earlier games, but it's essentially the same, and it's all right. I was addicted to it for about 2 hours this time. The amount of time I get addicted to these games is slowly dropping. So like Game Dev Story, when it was first released, I was playing that for about 6 hours without breaking, and then sort of coming away going, especially as that was when during working hours. Not really. and this one, I'm like 2 hours really into it, and then I just sort of I can't be bothered. It's all right. Though. I mean,
bothered.
I can't be bothered.
Can't be bothered anymore.
You think you're building up a tolerance? They're going to have to like switch to a slightly different narcotic to get you hooked again.
Yeah, that's basically it. I think they got a bit lazy. They're starting to cut other genres into their, you know, into their offerings. I can't swear. It's a self-imposed rule. Anyway, so I'm going to move on to Peter. He's probably been playing something quite hardcore.
You're going to move on to Peter?
Yeah, I'm going to play Peter.
That is such a terrible in-joke, Will, that literally you and me get. Like,
I'm sure if you want to see the Twitter conversation we had earlier, I'm sure they'll get it.
Oh, no.
gonna have to look now while he's talking.
It's a horrible rabbit hole. So yeah, I've been playing My Horse as part of this kind of exploration of games that kind of make iOS what it is, and I think it's absolutely phenomenally good. I love it. So it's a pet sim with a bunch of waiting in it. While you carry out tasks, you pick a horse and then you name it. And I called mine Marmalade. And Marmalade is a lovely, beautiful brown horse.
You're a pony no more. You're a pony.
And then so there's a few little different mini games that you can do whereby you clear out the hay, and you do little you do enter little competitions which you have to press a button as it swings past a marker, and then you get rated accordingly, and you have to feed them and pet them and clean them and all that good stuff, and it's brilliant. Like, I don't really like horses that much. I'm much more of a dog guy. there's something about it that's there was this moment where I realized, do you know when like people have like those out of body experiences where they say, oh, I was looking down on myself and I realized what I was doing? Well, I was in bed one night, and that's not a good start to that sentence, is it? I was in bed and I was playing on this this My Horse, and I called it over to stroke it, and it leaned its little head over the fence, and then you have to stroke down on the screen, and I realized I was being ever so gentle. and there was this, and that, like, I was like whoosh, like came out of myself, and I was like looking down going, I'm being gentle with my iPhone. and it's brilliant. I've put quite literally hours and hours and hours into it so far, and it's kind of ruining my life at the moment, because obviously it does all that usual notification stuff, and which is a bit embarrassing because it makes a horsey noise when it goes off. so it's quite embarrassing around grown-ups, but so I'm probably have to stop playing it because it is absolutely brilliant.
Peter, do you have any real pets, and are they all now dying from hunger?
Well, this is it. And this is the thing. Like, I'm not allowed pets because I live in a top floor flat, and I've had this like real yearning recently to get a pet, and so I've been playing quite a lot of pet games, and this is probably one of the best that I've played recently, and. It's no substitute for a little num 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 of my own, but
I can tell you now, they won't let you have a horse in a top floor flat. That will break so many rules.
What?
Even if it's called Marmalade.
But isn't that a good name?
You could try for a Marmaduke.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that would be a boy, and my horsey's a girl. So.
That makes everything all right.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't be ridiculous. Right.
That and would be like weird.
This is, okay, final thing on this. There's a treat system where you press a button and you can give them, you know, a treat, or whatever. And I have not yet fed my horse mints or sugar cubes because genuinely the thought process in my head was, that'd be unhealthy. Like, so it's just been on carrots. Like, I've just been like, there we go, Marmalade, like, hang out, have a carrot. That's good for you. Sugar cubes, no, get out. They're bad for them. They're bad for horses. You shouldn't give horses sugar cubes. It rots their teeth. Genuine fact.
It sounds like you'd be very good at keeping actual horses. Not that you'll ever find out, but it sounds like you'd be very good at it. Oh. Although you should take a screen capture of the horse and send it to your landlord and be like, ha, see, top floor fat horse, ha.
Ah, get it in. Brilliant. Exactly. Excellent. Yeah, I will. All right,
and I stroke it in my bed.
That's my project. Okay, I don't think I should tell my landlord that I stroke it in my bed
every night. Come on, then.
That's something he's probably already deduced, to be honest. So,
Marmalade.
Well, thank you very much, Pewter. And good luck to Marmalade.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Did he say glue? Oops.
If you leave it, does he die? Does she die?
Rather. No, she doesn't, Keith. And
she lives forever, Keith.
But she will. This is one of the long line of pet animals that's just going to that sort of nebulous, like sitting there. Like I've got a copy of Nintendogs on the original Nintendo on the DS, and it's just like I feel so bad. Like I've been waiting for like 5 years. Just like, when is he coming back?
They die. I thought they died.
Yeah, they die after 5 years. Actually,
no.
They just stay there in stasis.
Lose weight. Hurting,
dreaming.
Seeing
your little face.
That would be awesome. I had never considered that. That would be if they actually did have the dogs die. Either if you ignored them, or if after 5 years or 10 years, you know, time took its toll. And
it'd be a good Easter egg, wouldn't it?
It'd be a great Easter egg, and it'd be a nice, you know, teach children about, you know, life and stuff. Life and loss.
Don't feed your dog for 5 years and it will die.
Yeah, it's important life lessons.
It'd be like, there'll be a moment when they're about to go to university and they'll be sort of shuffling through their stuff and they'll go, oh, wow, it's my old Nintendo DS. I remember this when I was 13. I'm going to just see if old Spotty's, still there. And then you open it up and the dog's just... dead. Just like fleas flying around the
top. That'd be awesome.
That would be so bleak. That's horrible.
It just says he's dead.
Just like an image of Mario like looking very upset.
Yeah, the background, like, with his arms folded. Really angry.
And Werner Herzog saying something about death and despair.
You did this. Amazing. You made this happen. This is the whole text thing that goes along.
I liked your pre-university little high optimistic voice there. That was quite nice. Yeah. Where did all that optimism go, Will?
Beats an enemy. University.
just like Peter's horse. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Can you actually do that as your horse?
No. It's legal in many, many countries that you're not allowed to do that, Will.
But do you go into races with the horse, though? Because that would quite... Because there's, like, you can use the whip a certain number of times in horse racing. I've researched this as my defence.
I don't think you can. I haven't unlocked the American Open yet, but in the British Championship, I think it is all just display stuff. So it's just, like, barrel work and pole
barrel
work.
Barrel work?
Yeah, like, weaving in and out of barrels, basically.
Oh, I thought you meant actually making barrels. That would have been...
horses.
Yeah, like a horse
grading on barrel work.
Like
yeah.
A horse with his hooves, like, I was not built for this.
Anyway, well, that's cool. I'm not here next week, so someone else is going to have to take over the podcast baton. Yeah. Or baton.
Maybe someone will, maybe someone won't.
Are you volunteering, Keith?
No, I'm not volunteering.
Yeah, so thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast. I've been the host, and with me this week was James Gilmore.
Hello and goodbye.
Peter Wellington.
Cheers, guys.
And thank you very much for listening. Keith Andrew as well. Say hello, Keith.
Say hello.